that does not fail, but he is a God that's an on-time God every time, and he will come on the scene, and he will move in a mighty way. And I thank the Lord today that we can give it to the Lord, and we can leave it at the altar, and knowing that he will be in charge of all of what we allow him to be in charge of. And let me tell you that a little bit today. You've got to give it to him. You can't just give him some, but you've got to give it all. He's Lord of all. If he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. And so we have to give it to the Lord Jesus Christ through it all, because he is a God of great compassion. He's a God that loves us so much that he gave his one and only so that you and I may be set free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed, and is good that we can be in the house of the Lord. If you would stand with me across the building today, we can't leave without reading Galatians 2 and 20. We read that every Sunday morning. So let's read that now. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. You may be seated today. If you have your Bibles today, I'd like for you to turn with me into the New Testament in the book of Ephesians, the 5th chapter, beginning with the 17th verse. Ephesians 5 and 17, and we're going to continue on here a little bit in my maturity series, sermon number 5, and the title of my message today is The Mature Christian. We're going to look at this a little bit, the mature Christian. And if you have missed my series, you can go on to our website, to www.vfclexton.org, click into the media area, and you can see that we record every Sunday live. And so I want to thank those for watching today. My prayer is there something that I can say to you and your family to encourage you along the way as we get into God's Word today. If you have your Bibles, hold them up high. That's the sword of the Spirit. And those who are gotten the Word, thank you very much. And there are Bibles in the pew. There'll be Scripture that will be projected on the screen. I want you to follow along with me. Last Sunday's sermon was about growing through trials. And I talked to you a little bit about how that we mature in Christ when we grow through our trials. When we deal with difficulties in life, we grow from it. There are times that you and I have made mistakes in our life as we were trying to mature and become the adults that we need to. And there are times that we've made wrong mistakes. We've made bad mistakes. We've all done that. But guess what? When we make those mistakes, we learn from our mistakes and we don't go back in the same mistake. And that's what the Lord wants us to do with our Christian walk. He doesn't want us to keep making the same mistake and keep making the same thing over and over. He wants us to mature. He wants us to grow up. We can't have bottles in our mouths and pacifiers in our mouths all our lives. He wants us, we got to grow up. Physically, we grow up. We get older. Of course, I wish I could stop the clock and not get any older and stay where I'm at. But unfortunately, that's not the way God designed it. That's not the way God planned it. We all are getting older. And we have to number our days, as God's Word says. And with that, we need to mature in Christ. And you say, well, Pastor, why do you have to mature in Christ? Because when trials come your way and when things come your way, you're going to either act better or you're going to act bitter. You're going to either progress or regress. You're either going to move forward in a right direction or you're going to move in the wrong direction. And so that's what I want to share with you today, as day by day in your Christian walk, as you walk with the Lord. How do you walk, Pastor? You say, how do you walk, Pastor? You walk by the Word. And you've got to walk by prayer, as we went through our 21 days of prayer and fasting, and how that you are to continue to have that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have a relationship with the Lord just on Sunday and just on Wednesday nights, But you daily have a relationship with the Lord, and guess what? You mature in Christ Jesus. Last Sunday, I talked about why Christians have trials and why the Christian trials are different that come our way. My trial may not be your trial may not be my trial, and how mature Christians react to the trials. So there's things that we deal with, and it's like, how are we going to act? Are we going to act with angry, with shaking our fist at God and say, why did you do this? Why did you allow this? Or we're going to grow from that trial and say, okay, blessed be the name of the Lord. Remember when Job went through all the things that he went through? Guess what? He says, I know who my Redeemer is. I know who my Lord is. His wife and his friends said, you need to curse God and die. And what did Job tell his wife? You speak as a foolish woman because I know my relationship is with the Lord. And that there are those that may be around me may say who I am and telling me what I am, but I know who I'm connected with. And today we need to know who we are connected with. We need to know where the source lies. Where does the source come from? The source does not come within your intellect, within your wisdom and your knowledge and your ability, but your connection comes from the Lord. That's where you get your connection of knowing that God is in control of it all. And so as we look at this, maturity is a good word. Youth is good, but maturity is even better. Maturity in nature is almost like a rose in full bloom. A watermelon when it's red and juicy. Have you ever had a wonderful, I love watermelon. You ever had watermelon and it was red and juicy and sweet, and man, on a good hot day in July of South Carolina, and you've been working outside in the yard and you crack one of those watermelons, man, it is refreshing. I enjoy eating good watermelon. Sometimes my father-in-law will have a watermelon and we'll go over to their house and cut that thing, and it had been in the refrigerator, and man, it is refreshing. And that's the way it is. God is wanting to refresh you. God is wanting to give you something good, not something bad. And so it's as a full-grown tree as it offers shade. There's a strong, mature tree when you set up under it on a hot day and you say, thank God for this oak tree. Thank God for the shade. Isn't it amazing where you can just get into some shade and it's just a wonderful thing to even experience. You see, I want you to know mature Christians have grown up in their faith step by step. And what I mean by that, they begin to grow by being born again by faith in Jesus. You're taught in the Scriptures and able to teach. And the mature of it being matured through suffering, and it is able to comfort through the things that you go through. In other words, when you begin to mature step by step, God begins to drop things in your heart and in your life, and He begins to show you things. And as you continue to seek after God, God's going to continue to seek after you because He sees your heart and He knows that you want to grow in 2025. Now you may say, well, Pastor, I didn't grow in 2024 or 2023, but I want to grow. Well, hey, this is the opportunity. This is a good thing to make your New Year's resolution to say, Lord, I want to grow in You. I want to mature in You, Lord. I want to know more about You this year than I did last year. Well, You can do that. Listen, I want you to know we must recognize mature Christians. Because guess what? Iron sharpens iron. We encourage one another. That's why we come to church. That's why we gather here. We gather because I see your face. You see my face. I pray for you. You pray for me. That's why the gathering, that's why the Bible says, let us not forsake the assemblings of ourselves. We're not to forsake where we're at when we come together, but we come to encourage one another. Why? Because we're like family. We're like family. This is my extended family, is the church. And so with that, we come because we encourage one another. My first point today is this: the mature Christian's wisdom. The mature Christian's wisdom. Ephesians 5 and 17, the Apostle Paul, he writes and says, therefore, do not be unwise. Do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. God does not want you to be unwise. He does not want you to walk around in limbo, so to speak, or lost. But understand, He has a plan. He has a purpose. I said last Sunday, you're not just merely born to exist and be buried 6 foot under. While you're alive, while there's breath in your body, while there's air in your lungs, He has a plan and a purpose for your life. Wherefore, be not unwise. The world is interested in accumulating knowledge. Boy, we live in a world of Instamatic. We live in a world with everything. We live in a world with AI. Did we ever thought there'd be artificial intelligence? Folks, it is here. It is here. We read about it in science books years and years and years and years ago. We read about everything. But AI is now here, folks. Artificial intelligence is here, so the world is trying to accumulate the knowledge that they can. Education to the world is everything. Ever learning, but guess what? But they're missing the truth. This is what the Apostle Paul says. They're ever learning all the knowledge they can possibly get, but they're missing the mark about the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 3 and 7, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. What is the truth? The truth is the Lord Jesus Christ. When you accepted Jesus Christ into your heart and life, you got the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, because it is the love of God that has been given unto you by God bringing His Son, His one and only Son, that you and I may have life and have it more abundantly. And so as we look at this, the mature Christian begins to seek wisdom. The Bible clearly lets us know if we want wisdom, we pray for it, we will receive it. We'll receive the wisdom. Wisdom is one of knowing what to do with knowledge. Mature Christians know the source of wisdom. So as you mature, you will know the source of wisdom is not within you, but it lies within the Lord Jesus Christ. James 1 and 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and will be given to him. And so your things that you're trying to do, maybe things that you're dealing with, hey, pray for wisdom. Pray for wisdom, that God would give you wisdom in the situation that you're about to get into or a situation that you are into. You know, that's most important. That's what a mature Christian does, is to seek the wisdom of God, not the wisdom of man. Mature Christians find that the will of God and do it. Understanding what the will of the Lord is. And the question would be, have you found the will of God for your life today? Have you found the will in your life? Have you found it? You know, people are always searching. People are always moving. People are always going here, going there, doing this, doing that. But have you slowed down enough to seek God's face and to understand about His wisdom that He wants to give you? And listen, wherever you're planted at, wherever church that you are, bloom where you're planted. Don't be a church hopper. Don't move here. Don't move there. Don't do this. Don't do that. Listen, that's what the enemy wants you to do. Bloom where you're at your church. Let God do something in your life like He's never done before. Because guess what? God can't do things in your life if you're moving all over the place. He wants you to be blooming where you're at. Listen, do you seek the will of God each day? Is doing the will of God your delight? Are you hearing from the Lord? Are you speaking to the Lord? You know, there's a lot of times the Lord is not going to speak until he's been spoken to. A lot of times he's not going to bother you unless you bother him, unless you talk to him. You see, it's not a one-line approach. You know, there's reciprocation that goes on. There's dialogue that goes on. There's communication that goes on. And so we need to understand that. My second point today is this: the mature Christians worship. The mature Christian in worship. In whatever circumstance, in whatever situation that you're in, you are to give thanks unto the Lord. You are to give Him praise and give Him glory. Job gave God praise and glory. He thanked Him for no matter what was going on in his life. He lost his family, he lost his children, he lost his cattle, he lost his land, he lost everything, and yet Job still praised the Lord. He still gave Him glory. He still gave Him honor no matter what was going on in his life. Why? Because God had a relationship with Job. He knew Job's life. He knew that Job would worship Him and no matter what circumstance is or situation. That's the way it needs to be with us. And you've heard me say it, and I've got to say it again. Understand, whatever goes on in your life, it does not change your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You may come down with cancer today, you may have issues today, or tomorrow, or next week, but whatever comes your way physically, it is never to change your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, because that never fades, that never gets cancer, that never gets destroyed, that never gets divided, that never gets canceled out of your life, because when you accept the Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords in your life, it doesn't matter how old we get, it doesn't matter what we go through, no matter how we're feeling, it is Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and we can look to Him because we can receive victory in Jesus Christ. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. It is never the end. Some may say, well, cancer is the end. This is the end. Well, that's the end. Well, it might be in for the body. It might be in physically, but it's just a new day dawning, brand new, because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And it doesn't matter when we live through this life. God still gives us victory, and He's still going to take us on high. Hallelujah. I get excited to know that the Bible says, as Peter says, we're just like pilgrims. We're just traveling and we're just moving through this land. Yes, we may enjoy life. You may enjoy things that you have and family and friends, but just know you're just passing through, because this is ultimately not your home. Heaven is your home. That's where family is already there, and that's where we're going to unite one day being there. Let us not forget. Let us be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we will, hallelujah, we will reap if we faint not. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is the God that I'm talking about today, folks. We don't need to miss the boat. We don't need to miss what's going on. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. But look to the cross. Look to the source. Keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, and He will direct your path. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible clearly lets us know in Ephesians 5 and 18. The Apostle Paul writes and says, and do not be drunk with wine, and which is in dispensation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody and your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, don't get tied up and tangled up in the world. Don't get tied up in where things are tangible. Don't get tied up with things that begins to rock your boat and begins to wrap you up. Break from the chain. Get victory. Get victory. Take it to the cross. Stay in prayer before the Lord and sing unto the Lord a new song. Read another scripture to the heart. Sing with one another, pray with one another, give God praise and move forward and let the shackles fall and let the power of the manifestation of God begin to move in your life like it's never moved before. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. 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 Worship should be both private, but it's also to be public. Let me say it again. Worship is to be private, but also public, meaning to be in prayer of a corporate body. It's for us to pray for one another, to lift one another up, to sing a new song from our hearts, and letting us not be tangled into the world and be webbed into the world. We are in the world, but we're not of the world. We're set apart. Hallelujah. This is the bride of Christ, and Jesus Christ is the groom, and he's coming back for a body of believers that is anticipating the mighty move of God in their hearts and lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The mature Christian worship is to be spiritual. We're not up on the stage to entertain. Churches are entertaining. We're not in the entertaining business. We're in the worship business. We're into acknowledging the Lord. The group that's up here on this stage that leads the music is leading the church in worship and magnifying the Lord. It's not gyro, it's not jerking around, but it's basically getting our praise up to the Lord. It's acknowledging who He is, not the things that are around us. Listen, Bible clearly lets us know that we must understand that we must be filled with the Spirit, not given to forms and ceremonies. It is to be heartfelt, Spirit-directed, Spirit-moving in our hearts and lives. We are to move by the Spirit, in the Spirit, and through the Spirit. It is not for us to move in the flesh. I'm going to preach today. Stay with me. Strap on. Here we go. We are living in a world where the world is moving at a rate and a rampant pace of their own intellect and their own knowledge and their own ability. And folks, I hate to say it, but it's creeping into our churches. And we've got to know the difference. You have got to slice it. You've got to know the difference. You've got to know the enemy's devices and what he's trying to do. Because he's making us have a feel-good moment. And it's not about a feel-good moment. It's about a personal relationship that you have with God on a daily basis. Listen. There should be heartfelt, Spirit-directed. The mature Christian's worship is supposed to be scriptural. It is that we sing God's word. We sing out His praises. We acknowledge His word. There are some that are not acknowledging the word. They're acknowledging their other words or other words that they're creating. We've got to get back to the basics. We've got to get back to God's word, singing God's praises, singing His scripture, singing His words. In other words, we need to be singing psalms from our hearts. Why? Because that's what God hears. Why? Because He is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Singing out His Word. Why? Because we're in direction of worship, not glorifying man. Follow me. Listen, we must be, being the Christian that we must speak, worship. Speaking to ourselves, the Apostle Paul says, to yourselves in Psalms, emotionally submitting to the Scriptures. In other words, bringing yourself in alignment with the Word of God. Bringing yourself in alignment so that the Holy Spirit can begin to have His way in your life, and it's not on what somebody said, on somebody living, but it's about what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing in your life personally. That's the mature Christian, would you begin to worship. Revelations 5 and 7, and they sang a new song saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe, of every tongue and people and nation." We must look and focus to the cross and look to the Lord Jesus Christ, because guess what? When we raise up the cross and lift Him up, God says, "I will draw all men unto me." When you lift Him up, when you give Him praise, when you give Him glory, when you give Him honor, it's not going to be different types of this, types of that. Let's try this. Let's add this. Let's do this. That's what's wrong with our churches today. We're adding this and this and this and this, and we're leaving God out of the equation. We're doing this and this and this, and we're not even asking the Holy Spirit to have His way, because we're doing what we want to do. In other words, we go to the Father and we go to the Son and we skip the Holy Spirit. Because we take the place of the Holy Spirit and we'll say, "Well, we'll do it the way we want to do it. We'll act the way we want to act. We'll be what we want to be, say what we want to say, go where we want to go, do what we want to do." And guess what? The Apostle Paul says, "Watch out! You're on a shipwreck. Your ship's going to be sinking." He says, "You've got to stay true to the Word of God. You've got to let the Word of God line you up. You've got to let the Word begin to trim the fat in your life." Listen, Revelations 15 and 3 says this. They sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, "Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints." Everything is to be directed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing ever, hear me today, nothing ever is to be directed to man. The Bible says, are you going to be a man pleaser or a God pleaser? I don't know about you, but when the Scripture says and asks that question, I'm going to be a God pleaser. Because that's who I've got to give an answer to one day. That's who you've got to give an answer to one day, is to God. Did you please man or please God? That's where the rubber meets the pavement. That's where we've got to pull our boots up, straps up, and begin to live the life that God has commissioned and missioned us to do. That we are to be soldiers of the cross. That we are to live out. You are an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is an ambassador? An ambassador is a representation. You represent the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, the mature Christian's worship comes from a grateful heart. Having a grateful heart. Giving thanks always. Thanking God for all things. I don't know. Sometimes I see people that become flight risk. You say, "Pastor, what do you mean about being flight risk?" It's almost like when everything is doing great in their life, as they say that they're a Christian, everything is great, praise God, I'm this and that, and then wait for something to hit their life. Wait till something hits. Wait for a trial to come. And oh my, it's old doom, gloom, and agony and defeat. Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I'm dealing with. You don't know. Listen, I may not know what you're dealing with and what you're going through, but guess what? Jesus says, if I've gone through it, you're going to go through it too. You're going to go through some things. I'm going to go through some things. But guess what? We are not alone. You're not alone. You're not on an island alienated by yourself. God is your source. My mother used to ring that in my ears all my life. She would say, son, God is your source. There's no other source that you need to seek. There's no other source that you need to go to. You need to go to God. He's your source. He's the one that you call on. He is the one that will calm the storms in your life. Listen, I'm getting close to my closing. Romans 8 and 28. Another favorite scripture my mother read all the time to me. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who they are called according to His purpose. For who He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. And we know that all, you said all things, Pastor? I said all things. God's Word says all things. I don't know how, I don't know when, I don't know where. I'm as clueless as you are. But it does not change what thus saith the Lord. He says, and we know that all things work together to those that who love, if you love God, to those that are the called according to not your purpose, not mom and dad's purpose, not your friend's purpose, but guess what? The purpose, His purpose, Jesus Christ. For His purpose is, I knew it before the foundations of this world. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He, capitalized, might be the firstborn among many brethren. Listen, I want you to know, third in my closing, my third point, the mature Christian's walk. The mature Christian's walk. Ephesians 5 and 21 through 33. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husband in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her, that He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that He might present her to Himself as a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle of any such thing, but that she should be holy without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of His body, of the flesh, and of His bones. And for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself. Let the wife see she respects her husband. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying that there's a lot in that scripture. Because guess what? Every one of us, and I want to talk to those that are married today, we all have challenges. Husband and wife, we all don't see eye to eye. We don't go through a lot of things eye to eye. There are things, why? Because we're different. We're made up. A man is a man, a woman is a woman. It's not for us to act as together, two men together or two women together. There is a man and there is a woman that God has created. And they are two different beings. And they have come together. And as they come together, yes, there's going to be ups and downs. Yes, there's going to be situations that's going to come. Yes, it's not going to be peaches and cream. There's going to be circumstances. There's going to be things, especially as the older you get. There'll be things that you, as you get older, there'll be things that you'll have to deal with. Yes. But God says through all the difficulties, through all of the situations, it's not for us to give up on God. It's not for us to throw in the towel. It's not for us to walk away. But it's for us to work together, just as He says in our relationship, as we walk with Christ, we're to work together. Work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. Mom can't save you. Dad can't save you. Other people can't save you. Only you can ask the Lord to save you. And with that, there will be times it will be difficult. In your walk with the Lord, there will be difficult times. It will not be a bed of roses. It will not be peaches and cream. There will be things that you won't see eye to eye. There'll be things that you will disagree, and there'll be things that you'll have to agree to disagree. But guess what? It does not change your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It does not change your walk because of something not going your way or going right. It doesn't matter. The mature Christian has learned to submit. Submitting yourselves one to another, just as the as an example that Jesus gives. Philippians 2 and 5 says this: let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. A man that did not have sin, that knew no sin, sin was placed on him on the cross. The iniquity, everything that you and I have dealt with, have gone through, has been placed on the cross so that you and I may have life and have it more abundantly. Submission is the opposite of self-will. You might need to write that one down. Submission is the opposite of self-will. Submission, even in the home. The mature Christian walks in love. The mature Christian respects Christ continually. My question today would be this in closing: how long has it been since you checked your growth? How long has it been since you've checked your growth in the Lord Jesus Christ? How mature are you? How long has it been since you've checked your growth? And how mature are you in the Lord? Listen, we're all growing every day. We're growing spiritually. Now, some of us have already got to an age we're not growing physically anymore. We're just... We're at an age that we're just getting older. We're just getting older. Things begin to break down. That's just life. But we can stay renewed in our spirit day in and day out. That never goes old. Jesus never gets old. Jesus is about doing new things, not old things. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And I like to add the word brand new. Because I don't know about you, I like things brand new. Don't you like things brand new? I like that God's about brand new things. God's about new things. God wants to do a new thing in your life. Stand with me across the building today. Listen. God wants to do something in your life